Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Cirino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. The players had the day off on Monday, so no practice to get to, but they had 11 practices in the first 12 days of training camp, a much needed day off for this team after so many grueling practices. Remember, 8 of those 11 practices, fully padded practices with live hitting. It has certainly been a grueling schedule. The schedule gets a little easier for the Steelers now. They return to practice on Tuesday. They will then have a walkthrough. I think it's on Wednesday. Thursday, of course, the preseason game itself, and I think they have the day off on Friday. So a little bit easier stretch now this week as they got out of the grueling part of training camp. Of course, no training camp practice to report on today, but we do have a ton of questions that you guys have sent in. So we're going to do a little bit of a mini mailbag again here on Locked On Steelers. Before we do that mailbag, let's start today with some news and notes. Chris Boswell telling reporters the other day that he and the Steelers have entered contract negotiations. Remember, he is playing 2018 as a restricted free agent or under that restricted free agent tender, which I think for him was around $2.5-3 million for the season. Now, he told his agent, look, just try to get this deal done, but you don't need to update me on it. I don't want to be distracted with that throughout camp. It's going to be interesting, these negotiations. Look, it's not the Le'Veon Bell deal or anything like that, right? I don't think Boswell is going to go out there and try to reset the kicker market. But it does pose an interesting question, which is, what is the market for Chris Boswell right now? Especially for the Pittsburgh Steelers that have had such an interesting history with kickers in Heinz Field. Right? You go back all the way back to, you know, Chris Brown and the Merry Christmas era. And then, you know, they really lucked out with Jeff Reed and him being such a good kicker for so many years, but then after that, you know, they struggled a little bit. They had to bring in Scobie and that whole fiasco until they landed on Boswell. Yeah, what is the market? Do they want a long-term deal for Chris Boswell? And does he, you know, given the fantastic season he had a year ago and really the great career he's had so far in Pittsburgh, you know, what is he a top 10 kicker in this league? Does he deserve top 10 money, top 5 money at the position? Should he be the highest paid kicker in the NFL? You know, all interesting questions right now, considering especially how good he was a year ago. This is a big-legged kicker, the kind the Steelers haven't had really in the past. A guy who was capable of making 50-plus yarders regularly, and we saw that from him even in a game winner last year against the Green Bay Packers. Look, like I said, it's not the Le'Veon Bell deal, right? I mean, I don't think this is going to be that difficult to get done, but it is interesting for the Steelers. What is the market for them, or what are they willing to pay to a kicker in the NFL right now? Are they willing to give top 5 or even top money to a kicker right now at their position? I'm going to be interested to watch those negotiations. And remember, the Steelers like to get these deals done before the regular season starts. So there's going to be that early September deadline on when this negotiation can get done. And if it doesn't, you have to assume that then Boswell will enter into 2019 as an unrestricted free agent unless the Steelers elect to place the franchise tag on him. John Gruden not pleased with Martavis Bryant so far in Raiders training camp. Remember, the Steelers traded Martavis Bryant to the Oakland Raiders for a third-round pick on draft day. This is unfortunate for Martavis, right? I mean, look, we've talked about him a lot on this podcast and really how good he was back in 2015 for this team. He was so good in 15, 16. He suspended the whole year. 2017, it was all about, can he get his footing back underneath him? You know, can he be that same player again? It didn't seem like, you know, it was going to be the case. He got better as 2017 went along, but I don't think he ever approached the player that he was in 2017. I think some of the hope with him going to Oakland was that, you know, change of scenery. You know, he definitely felt like he was third or fourth fiddle on the offense because in a lot of ways he was behind Antonio Brown, behind Le'Veon Bell, and I think at later parts of the season, even behind Juju. You know, there were definitely feelings like if he goes to Oakland, maybe that does resurrect his career a little bit. It's disappointing to hear that, it's not a success so far, although it's just training camp, it's just practice. We'll see what Martavis does when he gets into real game situations. And then Bill Cowher will be the subject of a new episode of NFL's A Football Life series, which is an hour-long program that goes over the entire history of a person or concept or something like that. So Bill Cowher, going to be nice to watch Bill Cowher. That will air in the fall on NFL Network. Before we get to the mailbag today, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's podcast. You know, I'm up here in Latrobe, Pennsylvania at Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. And it's such a beautiful campus. I've taken so many amazing photographs, ones that I'd love to turn into posters for my Steelers memorabilia at home. And in fact, I have, thanks to PosterBurner.com. PosterBurner is a website where you can take your photos and turn them into affordable, high-quality posters. I went through their ordering process, and it really couldn't be easier. I mean, you upload the photo, it tells you right there whether or not that quality is high enough for the size print that you want. I chose 24 by 36, kind of the movie style poster, but you can get many different sizes. You can also get it in canvas. You can get it as a decal. I mean, they have a ton of options there as well. Their customization options are vast. I mean, you can crop, you can rotate, you can add different backgrounds or change the background color. You can add text to it. There's a ton of different customizations, but in the end, you are going to end up with a high-quality poster. And listeners of this podcast are going to get 10% off their order by going to posterburner.com/Steelers. That applies to all print orders. Again, you're going to get 10% off by going to posterburner.com/Steelers, and we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. And then let's get to your questions for today, our mini mailbag here on Locked On Steelers. First question, what's the deal with Juju punting the ball in frustration? I thought he was having a good camp. Yeah, this is an interesting one, and this comes from largely from a couple reports. One from Jeremy Fowler, where he said it's a rough couple days for Juju. First, he punts the ball in frustration. Then he and Ben have a miscommunication. Ben was frustrated with him, however he worded that tweet. That kind of got blown up a little bit, Juju's having a bad camp now, or stuff like that. And then, of course, Mark Caboli heard on, I think it was Saturday's practice, he heard Ben say after Juju ran the wrong route, Ben turned to Randy Feuchner and said, his mind's not right today. And, of course, this is now, of course, blown up all over Steelers media on the internet or all these aggregation sites that are saying, boy, Juju's having a bad camp or, Juju's being a little immature at camp so far. Look, I was there on the sidelines for Friday Night Lights when Juju punted the ball. And it was an out route that Juju ran. He had the corner beat. The quarterback, I think it was either Dobbs or Landry, whichever quarterback it was, just didn't put the ball in the money. It didn't, Juju had no chance of catching it. I'm sure he was frustrated that, the backup threw a bad ball there because he was definitely open. And yeah, he picked the ball up. He was out of bounds. The ball goes over, right? The ball goes trailing out of bounds. He goes over, gets the ball, punts it, and then goes back into line for the next rep. During the practice itself, I mean, it was kind of a nothing thing, right? I mean, no one and the players said anything, no coaches said anything that I heard, and then the play happened like 5 feet from me. So, yeah, I mean, to me, when I saw it happen, it was a nothing thing, right? I mean, it was a wide receiver being frustrated that his quarterback didn't put the ball in the money. I mean, to me, it was nothing more than that. Now, I wasn't on the sideline for the play where he ran the wrong route and Ben said his mind's not right today. But again, I wouldn't read too much into those two plays, right? Look, Juju would not be the first wide receiver to ever get frustrated because the quarterback threw a bad pass when he was open, right? Or he wouldn't be the first wide receiver to be frustrated when the receiver didn't notice or the quarterback didn't notice him open on a play, right? I mean, that is what wide receivers do. They are by nature very selfish people who want the ball on every play. They're always open on every play, or at least the great ones think they are. And so, look, I'm not concerned about that at all. As I've said before on this podcast, Juju is clearly the second best receiver on this team behind Antonio Brown, and it's not close. I know I talked up Justin Hunter on those first couple podcasts, but like Justin Hunter disappeared when pads came on a little bit, and Juju did not. Juju, on the other hand, when pads came on, he got better because he's such a physical receiver. You see that physicality out there. He's able to create separation from corners and make catches. He is kind of picking up right where he left off at the end of last season. And so I don't put a lot of stock in that whole punting the ball and frustration thing. He is having a great camp so far. What do kickers, punters, and long snappers do all day? That's a good question. Okay, so this is one thing that I was wondering too, and I'll tell you what, not a whole heck of a lot. So Chris Boswell, I don't think he's kicked a field goal all camp. Now, Jordan Berry and Matt Weil, they are in like a punter battle, so they have been punting the ball every once in a while, especially when they're doing full live punt return drills where Quadri or Justin Thomas or Cam Sutton are back there returning them. But no, I have not seen Chris Boswell kick the ball one time at camp so far as on a field goal. And the long snappers, I mean, they are practicing a lot. So they do special teams drills throughout the day. The long snapper will be there rotating with some of the backup quarterbacks or punters practicing for, you know, holding a field goal or holding an extra point, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, overall, I mean, it's not like, you know, they're running drills all day. There are a lot of times when, yeah, they're just kind of standing around out there. How tough is training camp really? Is there more standing around waiting for your rep than playing? Not really. I think that would be the case. I think that is the case for guys who are like fourth string. They only have three, you know, there's only three units, right? So it's first string, second string, third string, and then they kind of rotate back. If you're stuck like Marcus Allen was for a long time on fourth string, yeah, I think you are just standing around not doing a whole heck of a lot. But no, guys who are like fighting for their position, fighting for either a spot on the roster or fighting for a starting spot, like say John Bostic and Tyler Matakevich. No, they're in there for a lot of reps. There are a lot of guys out there who are seeing time on multiple units. Chuck Okorafor at many times in this camp was on both second and third unit at both left and right tackle. I think Matt Filer has had the same thing on the offensive line where he's been playing guard and tackle. Matakevich, of course, has been playing with the first unit, some with the second unit, some with the third unit. He and Bostic have been playing at the same time. So, no, I think for the majority of players, you know, Ola Dini, same thing, right? Keon Adams, those guys have been seeing plenty and plenty of reps. I think the majority of time, no, I mean, they are certainly catching their breath waiting for their next rep, but I don't think it's a situation where guys are kind of taking it easy out there. What is the temperature at camp? Is it sunny out, cloudy? What has the weather been like? The weather's been good, honestly. You know, it was sunny and warm out the first couple days, the sun beating down. It was like mid-80s. Since then, we've had a lot of rain in the area, so what's been happening is early morning it'll rain or mid-afternoon it'll rain, but then it'll stop usually right around 2:30, which is a half hour before camp opens. On those days when it has been more rainy closer to camp, what they'll do is they'll start practice at the turf field. So there are four fields at St. Vincent College. There's Chuck Knoll Field, which is the one right next to the stands. That's the one where they do all their 11-on-11 and that kind of thing. There's the middle field. There's a far field. That far field is usually used for the defense to go through their individual workouts. And then there's the turf field. That one's all the way on the right. That one is it's an artificial turf field. It's, you know, easily drained. And so that's the one they've been using to do individual drills on days when it's really rainy out while they wait for one of the other fields to dry off. And then on those days, they've either been doing their team drills at Chuck Knoll Field or the far field. But generally, I mean, you know, the only day really affected by weather completely was Sunday. And that's when it got kind of rained out early. And then the lightning kind of delayed practice again. Are there any referees at camp? There were. There were referees for 3 days of practice last week. And this was an emphasis that Tomlin wanted to put on the new helmet rule and just getting all the new rules in camp, especially, you know, the new catch rule, which came into play on Sunday. Yes, there were. There are not referees every day at camp, but there have been for three practices last week. And now they have, I don't know if they're high school refs or just local refs in the area, but they did have refs on Sunday. They weren't NFL refs, but they were there to kind of help with the goal line drill. Are there any plans to practice with another team? Not that I know of. I don't think the Steelers are going to be doing any scrimmages this year. I don't think they've done a scrimmage in a while now. Usually that happens when a team, it's either with a local team in the area. I think the Steelers have done it with the Bills in the past. I think they did it with the Lions at one point. But generally that happens with either a team that's kind of local to the area or a team that's coming from, you know, kind of far away for a preseason game. The Steelers don't really have that this year. Of course, they're going to Philly on Thursday. So don't really need to scrimmage with Philly. But, you know, you will see that, like, with the Rams, they're coming into Baltimore this week for a preseason game on Thursday, and I think they are scrimmaging right now. So generally that's when that happens. But the Steelers, I don't think, have any plans to do a scrimmage. What are seven shots? Okay, so this, yeah, I think I explained what seven shots is at one point in the podcast, but worth going over again. So seven shots is offense versus defense, ball at the two-yard line, and they do seven shots, essentially, at the end zone. Generally, they don't run the ball in those plays, and it's generally kind of out of a shotgun set, so it's kind of a passing drill, but it's from the two-yard line. They'll do a couple reps for the starting unit, a couple reps for the backups, and they rotate that. So, like, Ben will do three reps, and then, like, Dobbs will do four, or Ben will do two, Dobbs will do two, Landry will do two, something like that. But, yeah, it's seven shots, full tackling. It's a pretty intense drill, and they definitely keep score. I'd like to hear your assessment on the Steelers' secondary so far and which defensive backs you think will make it or be let go. Boy, that is tough, especially at this point. Now, we haven't seen any preseason games, so it's a little early to be talking who makes the roster and who doesn't. But if I was picking a roster today from the cornerbacks, well, I guess this is about the entire secondary, huh? Not even just the cornerbacks. God, the cornerbacks are hard enough. Okay, so, like, you know, Hayden and Artie are going to make the roster. God, Cam Sutton probably makes the roster, almost assuredly, because he was a third-round pick a year ago. It'd be really hard to cut Cody Sensabaugh at this point. I mean, obviously, Mike Hilton's going to make it. So there's what, five corners so far just there? And we haven't even talked about Brian Allen or Deshaun Phillips. Deshaun Phillips, by the way, continues to have good practice, very physical nickel corner. He could play the outside as well. You know, he's getting talked up a lot. Not going to shock me if he makes the roster. Now, I don't know that the Steelers are going to keep six defensive backs again. They did last year because of Brian Allen. And again, you know, if they keep six defensive backs and it's Deshaun Phillips and not Brian Allen, boy, that would be shocking too, because remember, they kept a sixth defensive back last year in Brian Allen because of how, you know, how much they believed in him and his development over time. The problem, I think, for Brian Allen at this point is that, and this is really weird to say, but, like, there's too many good corners on this team right now for Brian Allen to be a I don't know that the Steelers have room on this roster right now for a developmental corner. How crazy is that? And then at safety, yeah, I mean, I think the Steelers are probably going to keep four there, although you could make an argument to keep five, right? So Edmonds is definitely getting kept. Burnett, Davis, Nat Burr, I think, is a lock at this point, both because he's been the backup free safety, but he's also been a very good special teamer, so he's definitely making the roster. Now, your fifth safety, everyone's hoping it's going to be Marcus Allen, right? But I think Jordan Dangerfield is, again, having a good camp. He's been around this team for a while. If the Steelers really want a fifth safety, it wouldn't surprise me to see them keep Jordan Dangerfield in that spot over Marcus Allen. But those are my guys right now. I mean, if I had to pick the roster right now, it's really strange to go through that secondary and find hard cuts. It hasn't really been that case in years past, right? It's more have been the case where you could easily get your way down to three, four, five corners because that was how many good ones we had on the team. And now it's kind of flipped where there are more corners that you want to keep than roster spots available. And I think probably the same thing can be said at safety. Do you think this is Ramon Foster's last year? And if so, do you think BJ Finney will be a seamless replacement? Yeah, so Ramon Foster in a contract year. Do I think this is his last year? Look, he loves the Steelers and the Steelers love him. So, you know, I think they're going to try and find a way to make that work. But, like you said, BJ Finney has been very good in his place so far. In fact, I saw Pro Football Focus trying to push the idea that BJ Finney was a better guard in this offense in place of Ramon Foster. They were showing stats that the yards per carry when BJ Finney was in the game is better than when Ramon Foster's in the game. I'm not ready to go that far just yet, but I do think BJ Finney is a guy who is starter capable on this team. And if the Steelers did need to move on from Ramon Foster, I mean, again, I don't think that BJ Finney is a significantly worse player at this point than Ramon Foster. So it could be the case also that because Ramon Foster is kind of getting up there in years, do they want to pay, you know, whatever Ramon Foster is looking for next year? Again, they have BJ Finney there ready to take over. The question would be depth at that point, right? Because BJ Finney right now is such a solid depth player on that offensive line. Again, if you promote him to starter, you have to have someone there waiting to take over. Right now, Matt Filer is kind of a guard tackle for this team. Of course, Chuck Okorafor is your tackle, but yeah, the Steelers will probably have to address guard again in some way and kind of adding to the depth on that offensive line. All right, and then last question, what players are you looking forward to watching on Thursday? I mean, all of them. going through so many practices now and watching all of these players and being impressed by so many of them, I do want to see these guys in a game situation because it's one thing to do this in camp. Right, it's one thing to do this in a practice. It's a totally other thing to get out there on a football field in front of the fans and you know with the lights on, with another team in front of you in real live game situations and do this. And I think that's why you see so many guys who get talked up throughout camp and then preseason starts and you're like, what were these guys watching at camp? You know, it's a totally different environment, right? I'm going to be very interested to see. I mean, look, all of the rookies, right? It's a cop-out to answer with the rookies, but, I mean, Edmonds, Washington, Mason Rudolph, Chuk Okorafor, Jalen Samuels, right? I mean, I'm interested to see all of those players and how they, you know, how they react, right? Specifically guys like Mason Rudolph, who I think has been getting better and better. Hopefully, you know, he can kind of carry that momentum into Thursday's game. I'd like to see him have a good game on Thursday. Interested to see when Jalen Samuels gets used in the game. Of course, he's seen a bunch of time with the first unit. You know, does he see the same kind of time on Thursday? Do they use him at the same time as they're using James Conner? Interested in that. Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, James Washington, does he continue making comments? I mean, we can go over all those guys. So other players beyond the rookies. I'm interested to see Josh Dobbs. I think Josh Dobbs has had an up-and-down camp. There's been times where you really see the improvement that he's made year over year, and then there are other times where he looks like you know, the Josh Dobbs we saw a year ago. So I'm interested to see if there's real improvement there. Justin Hunter, of course. You know, I mean, Xavier Grimble is another guy who I want to see, you know, continue. Grimble actually had some really nice catches the other day in practice. He's one guy that I know I talked him up early and then he kind of disappeared, but he has made a couple nice catches recently in practice. So I'm interested in seeing those two guys. The young receivers, Damon Patterson, Tevin Jones, can they continue? Again, those are two guys who now have bounced back from a couple bad practices. Can they continue that on into Thursday? And then I guess, you know, just overall the secondary and the look of the secondary, do they use any dime? Do they go to their dollar look at all in the preseason? Is that something they're going to be saving for the regular season? You know, just overall kind of how does the secondary look? I mean, I know the Steelers are going to be playing a lot of vanilla defense in this game. There's going to be no game planning, so it's going to be hard to gauge, you know, is the secondary playing well in a preseason game? But, you know, where do they use Cam Sutton? Does he play inside or outside? How does he look? Same thing for Cody Sensabaugh, Deshaun Phillips, some of those guys we've talked about kind of at the back end. And then, you know, Matthew Thomas, same thing, although he's a rookie, so I guess cop-out answer there. But, yeah, I mean, I want to see Matthew Thomas, how he looks. There's a lot of interesting young players on this team right now that have a chance in preseason to continue some of the strong play that they've shown throughout camp. All right, and that is the end of the mailbag. Thank you to everyone who wrote in. And I'm going to keep doing this throughout camp, so if you have questions you want answered, hit me up, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, or find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. You can ask me on there. More than willing to do these as we continue on throughout camp. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.